Talk show, and I'm happy to have a great show for you today. It's so nice to meet. I feel like he's an old friend. He knows a lot of people I know, but I've never met before. His name is Ruby Mazar, and he's got quite a story. In fact, he wrote a book about it.
I did.
He did, and you can find it on his website, Ruby Mazar. And he's got a long history in rock and roll and graphics and beyond, and kind of famous for. And you got a Grammy, actually, for the Rolling Stones' 1972 double album, XLM Main Street. You did the lead single. No? Which was the cover on that?
I was nominated for a Grammy for a Canadian rock group called Crowfoot.
Oh.
But my mouth and tongue that I created, which was originally used on the Tumblin' Dice record sleeve.
Right.
And then after Sticky Fingers and blah, blah, blah.
So was that was before Sticky Fingers?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the original.
That was the original. Yeah.
And now, you know, all these years later, you're still working with it in fantastic ways, including in this major art show you're doing in Lahaina on Front Street on Friday night.
Yes.
At the Holly Gallery. And you're going to be doing some new interpretations of that same design.
We're doing something that's never been done anywhere in the world. We're doing a digital, realistic, live, global exhibition. A lot of people don't know what NFTs are, but it's a whole digital world where they take your painting and make it come alive with movement. And we're having the actual paintings. I did a series of 12 different kinds of mouth and tongue paintings going back many, many years. And we've made NFTs of these paintings. So we're having big screen right next to the painting of the NFT. And this is going to be televised around the world.
It's kind of psychedelic in a weird way, isn't it?
It's crazy.
It's kind of, you look at it and you go, whoa, whoa.
It's like from another planet.
Because all of a sudden something you know is a design is moving.
Well, it's funny because a couple of months ago, I was putting together this exhibition, and I was put in contact with this company, Cosmic Wire.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me and they said, oh, we want to take your paintings and make them NFT. I said, GQL? What?
Yeah, what's a lot of people do not know what NFT is.
Had no clue.
But it's huge now, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. I mean, people are spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to buy the rights to an NFT.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So what's the story on this? Because it's got to be a legal kind of maze to get through, because if you create a new one, they'd have to create another original, which you have another NFT.
They're all encrypted.
They're all encrypted.
All my paintings.
All the originals are encrypted.
Yes, so nobody can steal it. Nobody can rip it off.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be something to witness. It's never been done anywhere in the world.
Wow, that's huge. Well, you've had the honor and privilege to open up that door to do amazing graphics. So some of the greats. Some of the absolutely, I mean, people we love and play a lot on Buzz. Elton John, Jimmy Buffett, Alice Cooper. You worked with him, Van Morrison's album cover. How'd you meet Alice?
I met Alice in New York at a nightclub called Le Bar Bat. And I had walked in and I was wearing one of my hand-painted mouth and tongue baseball caps. And the owner came over and said he wanted to introduce me to Alice Cooper. And I said, hey, how are you? And we started talking. And he said, can I see that hat? I said, sure. And he stole my hat. He kept it. To this day, he has my hand-painted mouth and tongue hat. And we became friends and hung out. And he came to my last opening here on Maui.
And, you know, it's an amazing era. When you think back, I was in rock and roll in the early stages. I was lucky enough to be in some major stations where we played the music. We were the first ones to get it, and you play it. And that was a time when it was so important. Every one of these new albums that came out was so exciting. And the album art, you can see some of them we have on the wall, but some of them, you know, albums are still in the studio. Some of them have CDs inside now. But you would hold an album cover, and you would look at it, and you would digest it, and you would read the liner notes, and you would get into it. It was like part of the experience with an album cover. So they're very, very important.
Well, it was very funny. When I got out of college, I was a major in art. Didn't know if I wanted to be a fine arts painter or an illustrator, and got out. A friend of mine said, you know, Ruby, Paramount Records is opening up in the Gulf and Western building in New York. Why don't you try to get a job there? I said, well, who's the art director? He said, they don't have one.
Wow.
I said, cool. So I called up Bill Gallagher, the president of Paramount. I said, Mr. Gallagher, my name is Ruby May. I was 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I had never done an album cover before.
But you've been doing some art.
Yeah, in college.
Yeah.
But not professionally.
Yeah.
I said, I'd like to set up an appointment to be interviewed for the art director's position. And he said, okay, come in Monday. Well, I said, okay. So I did my research, and he was interviewing a guy named Bob Cato, who was a big art director at CBS Records.
Yeah.
So I walk up to his office on Monday morning. No portfolio, nothing, just me. And I walk in. He says, how are you? I said, very well, thank you. And we sat down. He said, what experience do you have? So I looked at him, and I said, my youth. And he said, what? I said, let me tell you something, Mr. Gallagher. You're talking to an older gentleman to do your album covers, and they're very boring.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big photograph of the artist, mm-hmm. big block type. That's not going to sell records.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring album covers to make them. Back then, we had record bins in the record stores.
Mm-hmm.
Where the kids are looking through it, and they pick up a cool album cover and go, whoa, what's this? And maybe they buy it because of the album cover.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm bringing to the table. Instead of you paying Bob Cato $75,000 or $100,000 a year, this was 1971, I said, give me $50,000 a year, full expense account, and a secretary, and I'll give you the greatest album covers you ever saw.
Good pitch.
He said, come in tomorrow. And that first year, I was nominated for a Grammy Award.
That was part of the Crowfoot?
Yes.
That was when that happened?
Yeah.
So what did you do to get started when you didn't know what to do? I mean,
I went the next day to the printer of all the album covers.
Uh-huh.
Got the dimensions of what size you have to do it.
Uh-huh.
Just learned, soaked it up like a sponge, and then used my creativity. I went into the recording studio with these artists.
Uh-huh.
There was a guy named Robin McNamara. Remember Andy Kim, Baby, I Need Your Love?
Yeah.
And, I just went in. I listened to the music, and I tried to portray graphically what they were doing musically, and it worked.
Now, when you got to the bigger names like Elton John and others, I mean, that had to be a little more complicated.
It was very funny. I had been asked by Mr. Gallagher to go to the screening room. We were doing this new album by an English unknown artist named Elton John. And he did the soundtrack for the movie Friends. I went, saw the movie. It was beautiful. Walked back up into my office, and this very flamboyant guy and his associate, Bernie Taupin, walked into my office, and we were talking and chatting. And he asked me what I thought of the movie. I said it was absolutely beautiful. The music was incredible. I loved the music. And we talked about my ideas for the cover. And he said, sounds great, mate. Go for it.
Wow.
Well, the funny story is, when I did the line drawing of a boy and a girl kissing, and then seeing how flamboyant Elton was, for the background color, I wanted to use hot magenta.
Mm-hmm.
Really hot pink. It went from my hands. We printed up 500,000 albums. A week later, I get a call screaming at the top of his lungs, Bill Gallagher, what did you do? I said, what? He said, a pink album cover for Elton John. I said, it works.
Uh-huh.
He said, we're going to get sued. I have 500,000 albums. I said, you speak to Elton's manager. See if he hates it.
Mm-hmm.
He loved it.
So you just really went for it without fear.
I could care less. I went with my gut.
And then as you got more name, you had even more power to do what you wanted to do.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, so people always ask me this question. I hate it. But do you have a favorite graphic album cover? Do you have a favorite graphic you've done?
Steely Dan was a great one. Can't Buy a Thrill, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was my favorite, Steely Dan. It was totally off the wall. Again, I was...
And I know all the Steely Dan albums, but I'm trying to think...
Prostitutes on the street with the big mouth, with the squiggles coming out of the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, they're not easy to work with because they're perfectionists as well.
Yeah, but they were great. I was in the studio with them when they were recording, you know, reeling in the years.
Mm-hmm. So when it went from albums, and I guess I'm old enough to know, you know, as you are, albums to CDs, it changed when you had a smaller size to work with as far as what you could do, didn't it?
That's when I stopped designing album covers. When the music changed to hip-hop and rap, which I was not into,
mm-hmm.
and if I wasn't into it musically, I couldn't do a justified job graphically. So
that's
when I went strictly to my painting of rock stars.
So that's a good one, too. I mean, obviously. So then how did you do that? You didn't have an office and a record company anymore. You went out on your own and just decided to contact your friends directly?
No, I just painted of my love, which is classic rock,
mm-hmm.
and all these rock stars. And I posted something on Facebook that was just starting.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, people were buying my art through the post that I put on Facebook.
Wow.
And then a friend of mine over on Oahu said, you have to come to Maui and go into the Bill Weiland Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't want to be in a gallery. I'm doing very nicely on my own. Well, make a long story short, I went into the Bill Weiland Gallery, and he had two directors of sales there, Jeff and Tanny Holly, and we put up my work, and it sold, it flew off the walls. I mean, people couldn't get it quick enough. I was getting commission after commission after commission.
And you were doing that on your own, but you didn't have to get permission from the artist to paint.
If you do an original painting, you don't have to.
Yeah.
No.
But on the commission, then it's another story.
Yeah.
So at that point, then, did it shift when you were getting commissions? It's a little different. All of a sudden, you're working for an artist versus just you're doing your own work, right? So was it a little different now that you were getting commissions?
Not at all. The people told me who they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I did my research on photographs of what kind of image the person liked. They approved of the image, and then I went off and did my painting, and the price just kept getting higher and higher and higher. Sorry. And mm-hmm. then Jeff and Tanny left and opened up the Holly Fine Art Gallery about 7 months ago.
And where is that on Front Street?
Right next to Chemo's.
Okay.
On Front Street.
Right. We know where that is. What time? Do you know what time that starts on Monday?
Starts at 5 o'clock.
Oh, good. And there's going to be a band playing.
Yes. The Falling Doves are flying in.
And that's a great line.
They're flying in. And actually, they're flying in, I think, tomorrow from Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
They were just in New York and Puerto Rico.
They're friends of yours?
They are. It's very funny. This young fellow came in, very punk, pop, you know, popping hair and black and chains and jewelry. And he went crazy. He's been trying to track me down from his friend, one of the managers of the Stones from England, which is where he lives in Liverpool. And he wound up buying a couple of pieces of mine off the wall. And we started talking. He's really, really a nice guy. And he told me about his group. And he says to me, would you draw your version of the mouth and tongue on my arm? Now, I've had over years women on all parts of their body ask me to do that. And I said, sure. I said, why? He says, I'm going to get it inked tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he went and got it tattooed with my signature. And then he knew we were doing this exhibition. He says, I've got to play there and bring my group. I said, cool. So
You know, I love this kind of story, actually. And in case you didn't, you know, get it and you just happened to be in the car tuning in or something, I'm talking to Ruby Mazar, who's got a great story. In fact, he wrote a book about it, his life. And he's an amazing graphic artist and also now doing, as you just heard, amazing portraits for many, many rock stars and I imagine beyond. And he's doing this special event tomorrow, well, Friday night at the Holly Gallery.
Holly Fine Art Gallery.
Near Chemo's.
Yep.
And starts at 5. Free, it's music. And this NFT thing, which again is this amazing new frontier.
If you don't know about it, you must come and check it out. It'll change your life.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, it sounds fascinating to me. Now, I've been seeing stories on TV about the importance of owning. What was it? The guy that owns Twitter was making, selling his original Twitter design for, I mean, it went for, I think, was it millions of dollars or something?
Crazy money.
Crazy money. To get the original design rights, right?
Yeah.
So how did you go about doing that? How do you go about getting the original design rights on your artwork?
Well, Cosmic Wire takes my art. They encrypt it. It's all copyrighted to me. So when somebody buys it, they will own the rights to that tangible item.
And if anyone tries to use it, the encryption will show up or something. You can't.
Yeah. Lights go off, sirens on.
So are you going to do this on all of? Do you have a lot of your pieces, originals, or are they mostly all gone? Do you have the originals?
No, all the originals are gone, but a lot of the owners will want to get involved making them NFTs.
I would say so.
So come back and we'll do it.
So that's now you've got to go back.
It's a whole new world.
It is absolutely, who would have guessed, right?
It's crazy. Now, and when you see it, Cindy, you won't believe how magical it is.
Now, on the show Friday, is this all going to be the tongue and mouth design, or are you going to have other designs up there as well?
I have my other paintings at the gallery as well.
What other paintings?
Oh, I have Steven Tyler, I have Sammy Hagar, I have Willie Nelson, everybody. The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper.
How has Maui changed your designs and your artwork? Because Maui's got a different light and a different energy, obviously.
Well, I paint 16 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I only sleep from 9 at night to midnight.
That's very little.
Yeah.
So you work, I get up at 3 or 4 in the morning,
I'm painting at midnight.
What does that do?
My dog's is sleeping at my feet. The world is shut down, and it's just me and CNN News.
You paint while the news is on?
Yeah.
God. I would have thought rock and roll, old-time rock and roll. I wouldn't have guessed.
Law and Order Special Victims or CNN.
That's funny. I'm sorry, that really is. Now, we only have a few minutes left, but I have to tell. Before, when you came in, Kathy Collins came in to say hi because she knew you when you briefly managed Willie.
Yes.
Willie K. So we were talking old-time stuff, but you had an amazing story where basically we want to thank Malik Carter, because Malik Carter literally saved your life. You were given a diagnosis of a brain tumor with 6 months to live a year or so ago.
Yes.
And rather than going through the chemo, you went and heard about Malik Carter.
I did.
Who is a legendary person upcountry in Makawao. He doesn't have any openings, folks, but somehow you were able to beg your way in.
I did.
And you saved your life.
Between he and my meditation and the Maui Ocean, every day, my mantra was go away, go away, go away. After 6 weeks, my 2.5 centimeter brain tumor was gone, completely gone.
Miracles happen.